Welcome and good morning. Are there any announcements that need to be made this morning?
I apologize, time for an advertisement. I posted the new flower schedule on the bulletin board back here right by the elevator door so that I can see it when I'm doing elevator. I believe most of the month of February is empty, but if any of you would like to sign up for flowers, the schedule's back there. Also, if you're one who has a date on a rotating basis, just check the schedule. If there's any problems that I stuck you on the wrong date or anything, let me know, because I'm with this. Thank you.
Okay, well, I do have one. Next week is the congregational meeting. We will be having lunch. If you bring something for us to eat, we'll be happy to have that. Congregational lunch after, so that we can be reinforced for the meeting. Let's see. The budget will be handed out today so that you have it for the week to look at it. And Susan will hand that out this morning after the service. Anything else, Ruth?
Okay. I wanted to make sure you were done. Is it? There. Okay. I'm not used to that. Two things. The one thing is you might have noticed that the bulletin board has some of our pictures on it already. And there's a lot of people that need their pictures taken still. So plan, if you have not had your picture taken yet, to wear what you'd like to wear for a picture next week, because Ethan is keeping his distance today, but he will be available next week to take your pictures. And the other thing is we got information from my coins count. Apparently, the Mennonite relief sale is going to be in person on April 1st and 2nd, 2nd being the Saturday, unless something happens between now and then. So the jar, bottle, whatever is down there on the landing, you can get all kinds of coins and put them in there, clean out your pockets, and we'll make sure that it gets there. Hopefully, and get to eat.
Okay. Okay, if there are no others, I call you to worship with our opening prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we have come to worship and to hear what you want to say to us. Permit no spectators in this church. Move us by your Spirit as hearers to become doers. May each of us fulfill the ministry to which you have called, for each one has received a gift. Each is a part of your body. Call us to recognize each gift and to minister to the varied gifts of each person, even as we stand and responsibility from our God. Amen.
Thank you.
Now we'll invite you to join with us. And I'd like to say a little something about this hymn. It probably looks like a new one, 159. All beautiful, the march of days. It doesn't sound like anything we ever sang before. But the tune is a familiar one and has other words to it. If you look at the little the light print under the title, it's Forest Green, and that's the title of the tune. The first line, the second line, and the last line are the same. So if you think it's a new song, all you need to do is learn two lines, the first one and the second one, because the third the second and the fourth are the same. So, but let's look at the words, because the poet really got a lot in here. And if you're really sharp, you will notice in the last verse, it is using phrases from the responsive reading that you're going to be reading this morning. So, as it starts out, it's talking about the seasons, and then it talks about the white expanses, sparkling, pure, the radiant morn unfold. It's very poetic and very, very beautiful. So I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to, well, maybe one, one, to look over it and see, or maybe we'll have Becky, there she is, Becky play, pay more than she thought she was going to, just so that you can look at the words and see how they all fit together and fit this time of year, especially with that white stuff out there on the ground. So let's rise. And let's play it one time through. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you. You may be seated. All right, take the sheet that came with the bulletin this morning. The responsive reading is from Psalm 19. This is a very favorite scripture of mine. I think I memorized it when I was in, 8 or 9 years old. And it's funny how some things stick, some don't. But anyway, this is one that does. The first part, it's divided up nicely in sections. If you are using the Pew Bible, it's, 727? No, that's not. That's the other one. Okay. The psalm is divided up into sections that are kind of about each other. The first one, God is sharing about the creation through David. Of course, this is David's psalm. The second part, it's talking about what happened in the heavens, you know, with the sun, the moon, and the stars. The next part is talking about God's law for us. The law of the Lord is perfect, and saying everything about the scripture. And the last one, again, talking about the words being beautiful and wonderful, comparing it to be even better than gold and honey and the things that make us happy. And the very last part is kind of our self-examination and looking at ourselves and seeing that, you know, we are poor, sinful creatures, but we are pleasing in God's sight and wanting to be like God. So if you are on the piano side, we don't need to know left and right. That's you. And the organ side is this side. If you didn't know which side the organ was on, it's over here. So let's read it together. Here we go. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth fruit. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, yet than much fine gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All right, the next hymn, We Praise Thee, O God, is a familiar one, found on page 99. I'm sorry. Let's rise for this one also. We Praise Thee, O God. Thank you. You may be seated. The prayer for the offering will be given. And if you haven't put your offering in, the plate is at the back. If you need to send it in, the mailing address is on the bulletin. Let us pray. God has shown us the meaning of generosity in the rich diversity of his kingdom and his creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, and in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to be servants to others with joy, and to share our love and material possessions. Let us rejoice in what we have been given and what is ours to give. Amen. The scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 4, verses 21 through 20. No, 14 through 21. It's found in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along on page 727. What has happened right before this is the devil tempting Jesus. Jesus returned to Galilee to the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And when he had finished, he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's turn in our hymnals again to number 87, "Great is the Lord." And we'll rise.
Thank you. Good morning. It's a joy to be with you here today to fill ourselves with God's love. May the Holy Spirit who is in me speak through me to your open hearts. We're going to begin with a time of reflection. I'm going to read a sentence, and I'd like you to be aware of the first thought that comes to you. I encourage you to relax and finish these sentences openly and honestly to yourself. Here we go. My days are filled with, my words are filled with, my heart is filled with, my mind is filled with, I am filled with. I did this myself this week, and I will admit that this list is not what I wanted it to be. Too often my days are filled with busyness. My words are often filled with abruptness or sometimes superficiality. My heart is filled with worry. My mind is filled with endless to-do lists and useless thoughts. I am filled with a lot of things that I would rather not have in me. Can anyone else relate? Meanwhile, we are the body of Christ. Let me repeat that. We are the body of Christ. And as such, what are we filled with? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul tells us, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." This is why Paul says there should be no dissension within the body, that we should have care for one another. If one member suffers, we all suffer. If one member is honored, we all rejoice. We move forward or backward together. Yet even as the body of Christ with one Spirit in us, individually, we have all these other things that we're filled with. Busyness, abruptness, worries, endless to-do lists. Recall the endings to those sentences I just read. In this past week's email updates, I gave you a link for a spiritual gifts test to see what your spiritual gifts are if you don't already know. If you didn't get to do that yet, check it out. These giftings tie into what Paul is telling us, that we are one congregation, one church, one body of Christ, filled with one Spirit. Paul says, "And God has appointed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts." Where do these gifts come from? How do we get them? Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 4 begins after Jesus was baptized and prayed, and when the Holy Spirit in the form of the dove descended on Jesus. And Luke tells us Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Jesus didn't face temptation alone. He was filled with something mysterious, glorious, and powerful, God's Holy Spirit. And this made him courageous, wise, and strong. Jesus thought, felt, said, and did all the best things in the difficult wilderness situation he was in, and even given who he was with, the serpent. Jesus was thinking, feeling, saying, and doing exactly what God would have done. Our passage in Luke 4:14 begins with, "Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. There he taught and he was praised. In Nazareth, his hometown, he attended synagogue on the Sabbath and was asked to read from the Torah. The scroll was given to him, and mind you, he hadn't chosen which scroll. It happened to be a messianic passage from Isaiah, and Jesus said, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" This is what comes out of Jesus' mouth when he's filled with the Spirit of God. He speaks of good news to the poor, release for captives, sight for the blind, and freedom for the oppressed. This is what Jesus does when he's filled with the Spirit of God. He resists temptation. He teaches. He attends synagogue with his community. And throughout the gospel, he heals and he saves. Jesus speaks of and imagines a new and beautiful world filled with good news, release, sight, and freedom. And he walks the talk. He does what he says. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the kingdom of God. The next thing Jesus says in Luke 4 after he reads from Isaiah is very important and very special. These are the first words of his own that Jesus speaks in the Gospel of Luke. He says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." There is so much in this one sentence. First of all, Jesus is saying that this year of the Lord's favor, this kingdom, is here and now, today. He says this scripture, this holy word, is fulfilled because he is here with us. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus is the person and the mechanism by which we get the good news, the release, the sight, the freedom. Jesus is the one who delivers God's Spirit to us. Jesus is our Savior. Second of all, did you catch our part in this? God always works in partnership with humans, and it's no different here. Jesus says, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." When we hear Jesus speak the good news, his words go into our ears, into our minds, into our hearts, into our spirits. God's word infiltrates us. It saturates us. We become filled with God's vision, hopes, and dreams of the kingdom. This is what we're supposed to be filled with as believers. And yet, we have the ends of the sentences that we began with. Justo Gonzalez, the great Lucan scholar, in his book, The Story Luke Tells, notes that the phrase "filled with the Holy Spirit" rarely appears anywhere in the Bible except in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, Luke's two writings. He says that this phrase, "filled with the Holy Spirit," appears 4 times in Luke and 8 times in Acts. It's important, this idea of being filled with something. We are temples for God's Spirit, but we all know that we are filled with more than the Holy Spirit. We've got other stuff in here, too. Luke knows this, and in fact, he's the only gospel writer to use the verb to fill to refer to what else is in humans. We contain all kinds of things. Right after Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue and declares himself the Messiah in his hometown, the people were amazed. They were like, is this the guy we knew as a kid? The one we watched grow up? Joseph and Mary's son? You mean our Messiah, our Savior, was here all along? We must be so special. He came here to save us. He's here to heal us. But when Jesus delivers what should be good news to those who are hearing him, they don't take it that way at all. Essentially, Jesus tells his community that he's not just here to save them, he's here to save everyone. Even the Gentiles, even the lepers, even their worst enemies. Everyone. And guess what happens when Jesus' community hears this gospel truth? What do you think they were filled with? Luke 4:28 says, when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. Rage. And it gets worse. Luke continues, they got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they might hurl him off the cliff. You can imagine that their rage welled up in a second. They didn't even think about it. They heard Jesus' words, and in their selfishness and their fear, they reacted instantly with rage. And they made an awful plan. Like them, we have to take great care with what we allow ourselves to be filled with. It's a choice. Not only a one-time choice, like being baptized, but 1,000 little choices every day. As believers, we are God's. God put a stamp on us that says, you are mine. And it's in permanent ink. It's a tattoo that can't be removed by any laser. It's forever. You are God's. But this idea of being filled, it's up to us. We can be filled with God's holy gifts that bear fruit for us and everyone around us. Or we can be filled with other things. We can refuse the gifts we've been given. We can give them back. We can exchange them or ignore them. God's stamp is always on us. Mine. But it's up to us to keep the flame of God's Holy Spirit lit in us. We have to do this with care and diligence and attention. There are eternal flames kindled and kept on every continent of this earth. They're for all different reasons, but somebody monitors and cares for them around the clock. Someone makes sure these fires stay lit. God's Holy Spirit is kind of like that. But here's the thing. If you light a candle in a dark room, the dark has no chance. The room will be filled with light. If you have a glass and pour some water in it, and then you pour wine in it, the water has no chance. If you pour enough wine into the glass, enough for it to overflow, the glass will eventually be filled with wine only. Light and wine have the power to displace. But someone has to light the candle and keep the flame safe in the room. Someone has to pour the wine into the glass. And that someone is you and me. We are the room. We are the glass. The light and the wine, they're gifts from God that fill us up, or potentially so. What happens when we allow these gifts to be poured into us, when we kindle these gifts in us? We get results. The Bible provides us with lists of gifts and fruits that come from the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, reverence, and piety. The fruits that come from the gifts of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, endurance, humility, modesty. Plus, there are a number of other talents that are associated with the Holy Spirit, including speaking in and interpreting tongues, visions, dreams, prophesying, teaching, healing, and evangelizing. The results, the fruits, come from the gifts. Think back to those first sentences I asked us to finish. In an ideal world in God's kingdom, we would always end our sentences with the gifts and the fruits. My days are filled with joy, peace, and reverence. My words are filled with kindness, gentleness, good counsel, and self-control. My heart is filled with understanding, humility, generosity, and faithfulness. My mind is filled with knowledge, wisdom, patience, and endurance. I am filled with love. Wouldn't it be amazing to answer these questions this way all the time? To think and feel and act this way all the time? Is our room filled with pure light, or is it a little dim in here? Is our glass filled with pure wine, or is it a little weak? Because here's the thing, the more of our rage, bitterness, disappointment, worry, fear, pessimism, guilt, whatever, all that stuff, that we can consciously replace with the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the more we feel God's influence, God's presence, the more we align ourselves with God's will and nature, and the more we live into the kingdom, the more we're saved every day. Walter Brueggemann writes a poignant prayer about what we fill ourselves and our days with. He says, "Our times are in your hands, but we count our times for us." We count our days and we fill them with us. We count our weeks and fill them with our busyness. We count our years and fill them with our fears. And then, caught up short with your claim, "Our times are in your hands," take our times, times of love, times of weariness, take them all, bless them and break them, and give them back to us again, slow-paced and eager, fixed in your readiness for neighbor. Occupy our calendars. Flood us. Psalm 19:6 describes this all-encompassing quality of God's glory. It says, "Its rising is from the end of the heavens in its circuit to the end of them, and nothing hid from its heat." And yet this infiltration is something we have to hear, understand, and pray for, like Jesus did after his baptism. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." In other words, let my words and my thoughts be like Jesus's. When my girls were young and went to Hawaii each summer, we missed each other terribly. We were 5,000 miles apart. And other than daily phone calls, the only thing I could think of to close that distance between us was the sky. No matter where we were in the world, no matter how many oceans there were between us, we were under the same sky. And we had access to that same sky all day long, and all night long. So when we missed each other, I would tell them, "Look up." We would look up and remember we're here together, closer than we think, under the same sky. God's Holy Spirit is kind of like that. The same Spirit that landed on Jesus after his baptism is in us. The same Spirit that Jesus promised his disciples would be with them after he ascended into heaven is in us. The same Spirit that whooshed through that place that the disciples were in at Pentecost after Jesus left them, that filled that room with all who were there, that the onlookers compared to a new wine, is in us. And that same Spirit that flooded through Peter's right hand into the lame man and healed him in Acts 3 is in us. You are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit's, of the Holy Spirit, with God's many gifts and fruits, and the same ones that were in Peter and Jesus. You are filled with wisdom, strength, joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can teach, heal, see, dream, and save. These fruits grow with tending. They are from the one Spirit who is in all of us. Light up your room. Fill your glass with wine. Sisters and brothers, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because God has anointed you to bring good news to the poor. God has sent you to proclaim release to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. We'd like now to share joys and concerns, miracles, praises. Go ahead. Sisters and brothers, let's lift our hearts in faith to the one who hears all prayers and holds close all those in need. For all our relatives who are facing health issues, for all our worries and fears and all the things that are in us, for our earth and its creatures, our leaders and institutions, even our businesses, for our resources and families and our church and all who are here with us. Lord, may we be conduits for your peace and healing and power. May healing come to all those who are sick. May you replace anything that is not of you. Holy God, you gather the whole universe in your radiant presence, your glory, and continually reveal Jesus Christ as our Savior. Bring healing to all wounds, make whole all that is broken. Speak truth to all illusion, and shed light in every darkness, that all creation will see your glory and be infilled with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. In you, O Lord, our God, we find our gifts and fruits. Pour your Spirit on us today. Fill us with your light, so that we who are Christ's body may bear the good news of your ancient promises. Amen.
Let's rise and do the response together, number 435.